Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary. I'm your host every Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm actually back from a 12-month sabbatical. This is our first live day here in the studio coming out of Adelaide. It is great to be with you. It is such a privilege to be able to share with you once again and to be able to say hello to so many important people. Do you know, today I'd actually like to start our program today by saying hello to the youngest listener in all of Australia. I want to say hello to my friend Noah. Now, Noah hasn't even started school yet, and yet Noah is listening on Faith FM. And I thought today we just need to say hello to Noah. You know, Noah is a very special little boy. He loves excavators and he loves picking strawberries. I think Grandpa actually likes eating the strawberries, not picking the strawberries. But Noah, it is wonderful to have you as the youngest person today listening to our Faith FM Drive Time program. Now, today, I do have a co-host here in the studio with me, and we'll come to introducing him in just a minute. But today, of course, is Australia Day. This is the Australia Day long weekend. Mm-hmm. This is the day that we celebrate our nation. So I thought, who better to introduce Australia Day, the Australia Day special program, than the Aussie pastor himself, Pastor Lloyd Grolemond. Now, welcome to you, Lloyd.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be on the program today. I'm not in Australia, though. I'm up here in Sydney, and it is hot, hot, hot.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Sydney.
Oh, you're in Sydney at the present. Goodness me.
Yeah, I am.
What's the temperature like over there?
It feels like 300 degrees outside. It feels I'm not sure, but it's hot.
Do you know, I actually grew up, Lloyd, in Sydney, and we used to spend almost every Australia Day sitting on the beach, and I can remember some real ripper hot days there in Sydney. It's certainly
the problem I've got is I'm too far from the beach.
So whereabouts are you?
We're in northwest Sydney, which is way inland near Penrith, really. Somewhere around Penrith. Winds are more than Penrith, but way northwest, so we're a long way from the beach, Gary.
That gets really hot out in that part of the world. Once you get up the mountains up to Katoomba, it certainly is a totally different equation. But that part of the world is certainly something that I'm feeling for you at the present time. But tell me, Lloyd, how have you celebrated Australia Day?
Well, yesterday, January 26th, I got in my car, went 70 k's out of Sydney, a little place called Wiseman's Ferry, and I caught a ferry across the river, another 20 k's deep into the valley to my farm. And I spent the day on ride on mower, slashing on grass and watching out for brown snake.
Goodness me. That is a way to celebrate Australia Day. You know, this year, for the very first time ever, I actually went and purchased an Australian flag and put it on my car. And I've done some driving around as well, but I just sort of thought, hey, I really appreciate my country. I really love this country. And I just wanted to do something just a little bit special this time. So I went and got one of those little flags and stuck it on my card. But tell me, Lloyd, look, you've grown up. In fact, I knew the Aussie pastor. I don't know if I should share this or not, Lloyd, but way back when you were just a little tacker, I had just got out of college, I was a young man myself, you were actually one of my church members at my very first church. I was actually the youth pastor in those days, and I think you were actually doing your trade during that era.
Yes, we've been one of your wild boys that kept you honest in your first few years of history. We remember you well and loved you.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lloyd. I do appreciate that. Actually, you know, you were one of the one of our success stories. I think we could say.
Well, that's a good thing to say that.
Yeah. No, I think in those days you were doing your trade. I think you were. Were you doing your trade, or you completed your trade?
Yeah, I was a builder. I did trade until I was 21, but I had a business partway. My boss actually moved to Sydney. I hadn't finished my trade, but I set up a business and I was building houses and bills and all sorts of things. And then I went off to college when I was 2.
And
I never looked back.
And never looked back, yeah. It's amazing, actually, how many people do exactly that. But look, Lloyd, it is Australia Day, and we are actually prattling on. What is it that you appreciate most about this nation?
There's a lot of things I like about Australia. In fact, when I was young, I went to the United States of America and I got myself a scholarship to a university. I could have lived in America and I chose to come back here. And when you share with me, this will be one of your questions, I'm thinking, what is it I like about Australia? I love the beaches. I love the surf.
Yeah.
I love clean air. You know, the clean air. I live in the city in Australia and you can go out on even day and most days the air is clean as crystal. I love the clean air. Actually, I am one of those guys. I love Aussie people. I think we're generally a friendly, down-to-earth, good people. So these are the things. And you know what I like? I've been to a few islands to work to, and I got a little bit claustrophobic on them. I love the big, wide open spaces and the big sky in Australia. So I think I've got red dust running through my veins. I just love this country with all I've got. I had to live the rest of my life here, and if she doesn't come, one day be buried here, become part of the dust again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I'm really interested, actually, Lloyd, that you do actually say that, you know, you love the clear, open skies. I mean, this is certainly something, until I travelled overseas, I didn't actually realise how significant that actually is, because I've been to many countries where, you know, you take your photographs, and I well remember going to one country and I had to run around, a big wind came through, and when the wind came through, everything cleared up for just a couple of hours. So I quickly ran around and retook all the photographs that I'd actually previously taken because there was actually clear air. But that was the only gap in about two weeks that I was in that particular location. Sydney beaches, fantastic, fantastic. Look, Lloyd, our country's often called the lucky country. You know, do you think it's still the case, or are we starting to struggle in some ways? You know, is there something that's happening within our nation that is causing concern to you?
Well, I think we still are the lucky country, especially when you travel, like you and I do a bit, and you come home, you realise what a great country it is. But we challenge a couple of things I think of. I worry about the affordability for our kids, grandkids to own homes and to be able to survive financially at a place where they've got some comfort, which they're used to, and I think we're losing that, and I'm not sure what we can do about that.
Yeah.
And I worry spiritually for this country because I think we've become very secular. We're sports mad, and I don't know whether you remember when I was a young fella, but I was right into the sport. And, we're sports mad, we're money mad, and we're pleasure mad. And it does worry a bit sometimes that we are losing that Aussie larrikin streak becoming a lot more tied up these other things that I think I'm not always that positive. But generally, I reckon it's a great country. And if you're out there, happy Australia Day for yesterday, happy Australia Day weekend, and I just hope and pray that we have good times ahead. But I'm not too sure.
Yeah. No, look, I really appreciate what it is that you've really highlighted there. I think that certainly, I mean, I'm so pleased that certainly, you know, two of my children have been able to get into accommodation, into the housing market. And I think, you know, certainly being in a city here like Adelaide, certainly makes that somewhat easier. But certainly I've had, you know, mates over there on the East Coast, certainly Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, those areas, and how anybody actually gets into the market today is a total mystery to me. But I really appreciate that second point that you do actually make, Lloyd, because I think that is hugely significant. You know, if you look at the Australian census, what you find is that fewer and fewer Australians claim any religion at all. Not just religion, but there's actually a belief structure, you know, and there is so much tied up that gives direction in a person's life with a religious belief. And I'm just not talking about our own, you know, religious belief, but you know, there seems to be a direction that is able to come when an individual has got a spiritual foundation. But Lloyd, really do appreciate being able to just come and chat to you today. We will let you get back to enjoying your Australia Day program and mowing that lawn or whatever it is that you're doing at the present time. But I imagine with that heat, you're probably not out there at the moment. But look, I'd love us to let's listen. We're going to be listening to this song. This is Jeff Bullock, The Great Southland. This, of course, is referring to the land in which we are living. And Lloyd, thank you so much for coming and joining us on Faith FM Drive Time today. Love your ministry and really appreciate all that you're sharing. And may the Lord abundantly bless you.
Thank you.
This is your nation, this is your land, this common future, this shared hope, land of reaping, this land of harvest, this is your land, this is our home. This is a great south land of the Holy Spirit. Summer rains, and in this sunburnt land, we have seen His love. To this great south land, His Spirit's come. This is your nation, this is your land, this land of plenty, this land of hope. Seen His love.
Jeff Bullock, and of course he was singing the great Southland. What a beautiful song that really is. And now, folks, look, today we do have for you a giveaway. Now, this is a Butte giveaway to be able to commence the brand new year. And now, look, if you would like this book, now this is Dare to Connect with God is the title of this book, and this is actually written edited by Niku Dumbrava, who is a senior pastor, many years' experience. And what he's done is actually compiled the prayer experiences of numerous people. A good friend of mine, Pastor Graham Christian, has written a chapter there on the prayer of transformation. Our good friend and sometimes speaker on our Drive Time program, Mrs. Lindy Sparing, here in from South Australia, has written a chapter on the prayer of blessing. Michael Engelbrecht, who is the CEO of Faith FM Australia, he's written a chapter on prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You will love this particular book. Prayer for Healing, Carissa Tourison has written this particular chapter. Folks, this is a book that I would encourage you, if you want to be encouraged at the beginning of this brand new year, then this is the book to grab. It's entitled Connect with God. Now, look, if you would like the book Connect with God, all you need to do is to dial our text number, and that number is 0488 808 11. That number again is 0488 808 11. Now, that's a text number, it's not a phone number, and all you need to do is put in a code. Now, in that text, just simply put the code SA301, no gap between the SA and the 301, just SA301, 5 digits in a row, and that will trigger our bot or our robot, and he'll come back to you. He'll ask you a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest possible way. So that number again is 0488 808 11, and the code is SA301. Just put that in your text message, and our bot will respond to you. This is a ripper of a book. You will really love it. It's a fantastic way to start off the year. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And my co-host today, who I haven't actually introduced yet, is Pastor Brenton Wilkinson. Now, Pastor Brenton is actually a retiree who refuses to take his boots off. Welcome to you, Brenton.
Thank you, Gary. Lovely to be back with everybody again.
You are a real...
We've had a few weeks off, but here we are again.
You are a real regular on this program.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So I look forward to co-hosting Drive Time on Monday nights.
Yes, yeah.
For our folk around Australia.
This is actually your regular night.
It is.
Yeah. Yep. We were actually tossing up, you know, it's a public holiday. Do we give you the day off to go and go hit the surf, or do we run a program today? And I thought, no, I really would love to be able to do a special program on Australia Day. So I thought, no, we need to bring you in, bring you away from the surf, bring you away from... what were you doing today, Brenton?
What was I doing today? Well, I've been in to see my sister-in-law, who's in the St. Andrew's Hospital. She's had a knee replacement.
Ooh.
I don't know whether you've had anybody or know anybody who's had a knee replacement.
That can be a fairly nasty one.
Yeah. So she's been in hospital now for a week. So we went and visited her this afternoon. And you asked me the question, what did I do on Australia Day yesterday? If you want an honest answer, I just relaxed. I didn't do too much at all. Mm-hmm. I did a bit of sleeping. I did a bit of reading. And I did listen to or look at a few TV channels just to see what was happening around the nation on Australia Day. But I would like to share with you and with others, my Australia Day was really last Thursday night.
Okay, share with
us. Last Thursday night, I had the privilege, and I will call it that, of going to a naturalisation ceremony. I didn't go to the ceremony, I went to the party afterwards. I've been to naturalisation ceremonies before, but this was really special. My good friend Gloria from Kenya became a naturalised Aussie.
Wow.
So during the party, you can imagine there was a regular chorus of Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. So we kept bringing this up, and one of the other Africans said to me, Pastor, it's getting louder. I said, it's going to keep on getting louder as time goes on. Now, Gloria came from Kenya in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with her, she was my church member when I was the minister at Melrose Park for 10 years. And she was in the business, Gary, of buying a car. Now, you know a bit about buying cars. Mm. I know a bit about. She said, Pastor, I've got this car and I don't know whether I should buy it or not. And I said, look, I'll go with you and let's have a look at it. So we did. We went and had a look at it. In the end, she bought it. I'm beginning to think now it's a case of repent at leisure, I guess. She didn't keep the car for that long. It did give a little bit of trouble, but it wasn't too bad. But she worked in various jobs. She studied health science, I think, in the uni here in Adelaide. And last year, she shifted up to the Northern Territory, mm-hmm. where she was working in some incredibly remote outback area.
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to the real Australia. She was on the Roper River. Now, if you've been up that neck of the woods, I said to her, whatever you do, don't go swimming in the Roper River. It's full of crocodiles.
Mm.
But she is now working in another job. She's gone from being permanent to casual because that suits her better as far as flexibility goes. And they go out in the ambulance picking people up in the middle of the night and all of this type of stuff. But what was interesting about this is that she sent me an invite, or Lurline, my wife, and myself. She sends this invite to us, and guess where the reception was going to be? You would probably guess some cafe in Adelaide.
I didn't actually realise that people had receptions after naturalisation ceremonies.
When Gloria does something, we all celebrate afterwards.
Yes.
So maybe it's more of a personal
thing. An effervescent, outgoing character.
I don't know whether
character.
It's a cultural thing. It may be and may not be. I've had a lot to do with Gloria, and she's one of the most effervescent people that you would meet. So she sends this invitation saying, it's by invite only. And I looked at the invite and I said, Oval Hotel, Adelaide Oval. Ooh. I thought, wow. I haven't been in the Oval Hotel before. So anyway, we turned up last Thursday evening and went up to the fourth floor. And it's pretty hard to take, Gary. You come out of the lift, round the corner. Down one end, you've got a wine bar stroke refreshment area. You got your tables and your chairs and mm-hmm. you're looking out mm-hmm. over Adelaide Oval. It's a 360-degree view of
Marvelous.
Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to take, but someone has to do it. And so there we were. And, of course, being a good African thing, even though she had become an Aussie earlier in the afternoon, she had gone to the Adelaide Town Hall where she was naturalised, I believe, with about 300 other people. Now, what was interesting is I made a note of I read this out to her when I made my speech, and I'm going to share it with our listeners. It's called the Australian Citizenship Affirmation. It was first given on Australia Day in 1999 at a place called Galston. You would know where Galston is. In New South Wales, it says this: as an Australian citizen, I affirm my loyalty to Australia and its people, whose democratic beliefs I share, whose rights and liberties I respect, and whose laws I uphold and obey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said to her, is this what you actually said on the day? And she said, yeah, it was basically that. So we all made our speeches in good African culture. In an occasion like this, Gary, everybody makes a speech.
There were 16 of us there,
so everybody had to say something.
Yep.
That takes time. And then at the end of it, she made this comment. She said, Pastor, she said, I'm an Aussie citizen now, but she said, I want us to sing my favourite hymn. And I'm thinking, hello, we're in the middle of the Oval Hotel in Adelaide with various people eating their tea and that sort of thing around. She said, I want us to sing Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. So if you can imagine it, we're all sitting there together and we all held hands.
Mm-hmm.
And we're singing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Wow.
Pilgrim through this
barren. And you've got a good singing voice.
I've got a good singing voice, I know that. But Gloria makes up in volume for perhaps what she lacks in, shall we say, precision.
Everybody was
singing, and people who were eating their tea, the bar staff down the other end and those who were serving drinks, they were all listening to a singing.
I would love to have been there. I would love to have been.
It's been the highlight of my year so far. I know we're only 1 month into the year, but I really got off on that.
You know, Brent, I'm really interested you actually say that, because one of the things that I've noticed is that certainly a lot of our African people, there is a spirituality there.
Absolutely.
That certainly in the Yoka Aussie seems to have lost. You know, I'm really conscious that even the, I've had the privilege of being able to do ministry with some of our Indigenous people.
Yes.
And there is a depth of spirituality there.
Yeah, I've got it as well.
That that so many of the secular Australian has actually lost.
Yep.
And I think they've lost a really good thing.
I think they have. Part of the problem is, as I reflect on the values of Australia, and I was listening to Lloyd and what he was saying, and certainly several things that he said resonated with me. One of them was the fact that in Australia, you've been to other parts of the world and so have I, you don't have this feeling that you're cramped.
Yes.
The space.
Yes.
One of my favourite places is the Flinders Ranges.
Yeah.
You go out, you drive out into the Flinders Ranges and you stop your car, turn off the ignition, and you just sit there.
Yeah.
It's so quiet, you can just about hear yourself think.
Yes, yes, yeah. And you know, Brenton,
it doesn't have to be pouring with rain or deadly dry like it is at the moment. It's just the peace.
Yes. And you know, Brenton,
you can't hear anything.
Earlier today, I was actually talking to my one of my daughters about, you know, that we were going to be doing this particular subject.
Yes.
And her comment was actually very telling. She said, you know, the thing about Australia for me is the sheer security.
Yes.
In this land. And, you know, repetitiously, the thing that I'm so conscious of is that if you look at the lists of the places where people would like to live around this world, Australia tends to rank in about the top 10 list after list after list.
Yeah.
And there's 200 odd countries there, but this is one of those countries. It ranks far above even countries like America. Mm. And, you know, sometimes I just wonder, Brenton, I mean, are we missing something about how good this land really is?
I think one of the problems that Australians have is what's called the tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to go into that a great deal because many of our listeners would know what the tall poppy syndrome is. You think you're better than us, we'll cut you down to our size.
Yeah.
One of the things that came out with Gloria and with other people, and I pastor currently – very multicultural church at Adelaide City.
Yep.
As I said, I am going to retire, but this church has got people from, well, various cultures. One of the things that comes through consistently with people from overseas is they see Australia as a land of opportunity.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's still the land of opportunity.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about wokeness or political correctness or anything like that, but despite all of those things, maybe, it is still the land of opportunity. They come from other cultures. They come from other countries.
Yes.
They come here and they see that if you – and I believe it's still true. Lloyd touched on it to a degree, but my comment would be this. If you're prepared to have initiative and work hard, you can still make something of yourself in this country.
Yeah.
It hasn't got to the stage where we're all just a blend of marmalade or something or other. You can rise. You can improve your situation in life if you're prepared to work hard.
Brendan, look, let me give you just, I suppose, what I'd call a little bit of a, I suppose, a curly one in just a little bit. Look, as I read Hebrews chapter 11, I get the heroes of faith being spoken about there. But repetitiously in that chapter, we read of them seeking a better country.
Mm.
Now, can you just sort of help me out?
Yeah.
What's actually going on here? I mean, did these people just live in one of those bottom-ranked countries, or have they identified a problem with the world they were living in? You know, I mean, what is this better country? I mean, is that something you strive for? I mean, how do you view this? I mean, that's a strange thing to say.
Well, let's have a look at Hebrews 11, and I'll try and make it as simple as possible for our listeners. Some of the people it talks about in the first couple of verses are Abel, and we know what happened to him. Enoch, not much good trying to talk to him. He's in heaven. Noah's long dead. Abraham. When I come down to Abraham, you might remember that Abraham lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees in what we call modern-day Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've done any reading on archaeological stuff, it was one of the most sophisticated cities in the culture that he lived in. And God asked him to leave there and go to a country that I will show you. Now, last year in some of our presentations, I seem to recollect having touched on this. When he left Ur of the Chaldees, he took his father, he took his nephew Lot, he took his household,
mm-hmm.
and they shifted to a place called Haran,
mm-hmm.
where they were for about 20 years, is the best I can mm-hmm. find out, before they eventually started heading towards the Promised Land, which turned out to be what we know as Canaan. But what it says is this, by faith he made his home in the Promised Land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. What is this promise? For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That gives you a strong clue.
Mm-hmm.
What was he looking for? He's looking for a heavenly home.
Yeah.
And then it says this in verse 13. This is where it becomes really interesting. All these people were still living by faith when they died.
Mm-hmm.
They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we go to naturalisation ceremonies and that, and I'm going to touch on this a little bit more, I think we will have a look at two statements. One statement made by Abraham and one statement made by Joseph to show you that their focus was on this heavenly one, and I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 24 and read verse 6 and 7. You've probably read these verses, but they're not verses that are commonly known. Abraham's old. He's 140 years of age. And you find that he says this. He brings his servant Eliezer in and he says, I want you to find a wife for my son.
Mm-hmm.
The servant asks him in verse 5, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Abraham basically says, I want you to go back to my homeland and mm-hmm. try and find a wife for my son. Mm-hmm. I don't want him marrying any of these Canaanite women who are around here. And so it says, shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? This is meaningful in the light of what we're mm-hmm. talking about today about citizenship. This is some of Abraham's last recorded words mm-hmm. in Scripture. Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, in your offspring or to your offspring, I will give this land. He will send his angel before you. So that you can get a wife for my son from there. In other words, he's saying, no way. I want you to go to my relatives, find a wife for my son and bring her back here. There is no way known that my son is going back to where I came from. I left there on God's orders and I have come here. And this this is the land that we are to be given.
The heroes of faith were the ones who looked beyond the land where they were living.
You've got to have spiritual eyesight.
And they started to see something that was bigger.
Yes.
As I look at this Hebrews chapter 11.
It's a fabulous chapter, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good. This is verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Mm-hmm. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called them their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, Brenton, for me, this really said, you know, I'm proud to be an Australian. I do believe that this is the best country on the face of the earth.
It is.
But, you know, to me, there is still a better country that I'm looking forward to. Mm. You know, I look at what's being said here and I say, hey, the heroes of faith, they knew something that I think challenges us today. Mm-hmm. It's so much my Christian experience that gives me the foundation to be able to build a better country today. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to come to a very related question to this entire issue, because I do want to bring up this entire issues of how do the heroes of faith, how did they live in the countries of their sojourn mm-hmm. on this earth. And I think this is really, really key. But, Brenton, look, I'm conscious we do have to go to some music.
We have to go to a break.
Let's go to a break. I love this particular song. This is Faith First, Where There Is Faith.
One of my favorites.
This is a real beauty. Please enjoy Faith First, Where There Is Faith.
And trust. needs our needs, our needs. If we only believe where there is faith,
there is a voice calling, keep walking. You're not alone in this world. Where there is faith, there is a peace like a child sleeping. Hope everlasting.
They are a wonderful group. Really appreciate the words of that song, the thoughts which they're expressing. Faith first. And, you know, in a country like Oz, we've got so much going for us.
Yeah.
And yet, to me, I'm just so conscious that that possibly the area that is most challenging is this whole area of faith. Now, folks, look, we do have a giveaway for you today.
Really good book, Gary.
You've read this book too?
I think I've got it, and I think I have read some of it.
Okay,
I can't honestly say I've read all of it.
Yeah, no, this is.
I tend to speed read. I read so much that I tend to speed read. So
I know what it's like
here and there. And
I know what it's like.
Yep.
This book's entitled Dare to Connect with God, and this is by Niku Dumbrava.
Oh, yes.
This is a real little ripper. Have you ever been wondering how to connect with God? This little book offers 13 simple strategies for revitalizing your prayer life and deepening your connection with God. Dare to Connect with God is like a Swiss Army knife for your spiritual journey. Whether you're pondering alone, studying a group, or craving meaningful conversations, this book has got you covered. It's filled with heartfelt devotionals contributed by people from all walks of life in Australia who've been through some incredibly challenging experiences. We've got Pastor Graham Christian from living over in Victoria. He's talking about prayer of transformation. Mrs. Lendy Sperring from here in
yes.
South Oz.
Also on
Faith FM sometimes. She's talking about the prayers of blessing. We've got Michael Engelbred, also from Melbourne. He's our big
CEO.
Boss. He runs Faith FM, but he's been talking about the prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If ever there's something today
we
need more than anything else, it's that particular gift. Folks, you'll love this particular book, Dare to Connect with God. Now, look, if you'd like this particular book, please just text us. Now, our text number is 0488 808 11. 0488 808 11, and in the text portion of your texting, just put five digits SA301 and text that to 0488 808 11, and that will be picked up by our bot. He's a great bot. He's a very friendly bot. He'll come back to you, ask you a few questions, your address and your contact details, so that we can get this book to you in the fastest possible manner. I'd encourage you to grab this book while it's being offered. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and today my co-host is Pastor Brenton Wilkinson, who is one of our long-time Faith FM presenters. And today we are actually acknowledging Australia Day and all that it does actually mean to our fair country. Now, Brenton, I did actually cut you off a little bit before the break. Just share, open up that subject we were talking about before.
Then we can put the practical application in. I wanted to share one more with you. I've shared with you what Abraham said. These are amongst the last recorded words of Abraham in Scripture. Those of you who want to look it up, have a look at Genesis 24 and 25, and you'll find that I don't think Abraham says anything more after that. However, now we come to another one of the heroes of faith, Gary, Joseph. And Joseph, it says, stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years. Then down here it says in verse 24, it's nearly the last verse in the book of Genesis. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. What do we learn from that? We learn from that that he, along with Abraham, along with Isaac, along with Jacob, all the heroes of faith, they were looking for something they hadn't received. And that's what faith actually is. Mm. As you know, the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:6 is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You ask yourself a simple question, Gary. I've often wondered it. How do you keep looking for something that you haven't received? How do you keep that enthusiasm? How do you keep that fire in the belly, if you will? I'm talking spiritually. Mm. How do you keep that going when this world seems to be getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse? You say, you tell people there's a better day coming because Scripture promises it. But you, I think you've actually got to have anchored in your heart the fact that along the way to the point where you are now, God has answered prayers. They're like markers. To me, in my life, they're like markers. I've been a Christian all my life. And for those of you who are listening who are not Christians or maybe thinking about Christianity, when God answers a prayer, either put it in a journal, make a note of it, or do something. They are the key pointers. They're like signposts on a road. Yeah. They're like going to Sydney where it says it's another 350 Ks or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're the things that I think when things are going tough in particular, they are the things that you look at and say, God has answered my prayer in the past. He will answer my prayer in the future. What has he promised? He's promised that if I follow him and believe in him, I will have eternal life. Where does eternal life begin? I believe it begins here. Mm. But where are we going? To a better country, the one that you talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to a country where there is no more sickness, suffering, pain or death, no more war. Now, who wouldn't want to go to a country?
Now, this is
like
something that's really important for us to pick up, I think, on, Brenton, because what we're talking about here is the scriptures actually talk about, we have got here in Australia today, we've got a fantastic country. This is a country I believe that we can be proud of. This is a country that has got so much more than what most people have got in the entire world. And yet, certainly Hebrews 11 talks about there being another country, a different country, a country that is yet to come. And that is the country, you know, to me, I'm proud of being an Australian, but do you know, I'm also proud of being a Christian.
I don't believe we should hang our head over that.
Yeah.
I don't believe we should be ashamed of that.
In fact, I'll go one step further. I would say I am more proud of being a Christian than I am of being an Australian. Mm, and, you know, I love this country, but, you know, there is something better taught in the Word of God about a country that is yet to come.
When you've got that faith, it's tangible.
It is.
You can't touch it, you can't feel it, but it's tangible. The Word of God is so interesting, but there's a text here. You remember when Israel went into captivity. This is what God told them
to do. And this is important what you're going to read now, because what this is telling us is, okay, how do I then live in the country in which is I am now, in which I am now living, which is actually described as a foreign country to those who are heading to the heavenly land. How do I live in this country?
Okay, let me read Jeremiah 29, verse 7, because I believe that even though it's talking to a specific situation, it also has an application today. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Notice, why are they there? Because God's carried them into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. We live in Australia. We know for a fact that some of our laws increasingly are starting to impinge, particularly upon rights of religion and things like that. I believe there's an answer to that. Here, they're going to a foreign country, false gods, false worship, false everything, and God is saying, actually, pray for them.
Pray for them.
Pray for them.
Seek their good.
Seek their good. In other words, be a fine, upstanding citizen, different culture, different language even, different everything, still work for the good of that country and pray for them.
Indeed.
Pray for them, because if God blesses them, you in turn are going to be blessed as well. I think the key factor, Gary, in we could also read Romans 12:18, where Paul calls Christians to live peaceably with all men.
Yeah, in fact, that passage to me, I think, is important.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
In fact, I love the way it starts off. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you,
live possible
peaceably with all men. Peaceably with all men.
Yeah,
do you know, this is a call, isn't it? You know, for Christians to actually build up the country where they are living as far as it is possible, and yet to remember that this isn't our final home.
No, that's true. The final thing I would like to say is this: yes, in Australia, be proud of being an Australian. Be even more proud to be a Christian in this country, because we can be, shall we say, a positive influence on the society in which we live. The only thing we need to remember is that when the laws of the land conflict with the laws of God, we need to be like Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 5. Where they were called to account for the fact that they were spreading the gospel in Jerusalem, and they said, "We strictly told you not to do this." And what was his answer? "We ought to obey God rather than man." I believe those times are coming, and probably coming quickly. But I think as we stand today in 2025, let's be model citizens. Let's be citizens that the light of Jesus shines out of us.
And yet, what you've got...
We're not just Australians, we're Christian Australians.
Yeah, I think Paul sums it up, you know, to even, you know, Paul didn't mind challenging his society.
Oh, not at all.
And that's, you know, being model citizens doesn't necessarily mean I ignore everything that's going on.
No, it doesn't.
But to me, as I look at those New Testament apostles, I say, hey, there's an example there that
which we should emulate.
That screams at us. Yes. Look, I'm conscious our time is nearly up. I really want to say
thank you. This is a great topic.
Want to say thank you for joining Pastor Gary and Pastor Brenton on Drive Time, a big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when I'm going to be sharing with Pastor David Butcher, and we're going to look for the remainder of this week at some remarkable research concerning spiritual trends in our current world. Really do look forward to your being with us. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.